Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Talk, why won't you listen? Argue, why shut, won't you talk, see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
And welcome. It is Spouting Off. Karen Cataline with you. Happy, reasonably healthy. No, I'm healthy. I'm happy. And this is October 22nd, the birthday of a couple of good friends of mine. And this is show number 87. First off, I have a programming note for you before I get zoomed into my monologue, which I am jazzed about. We have a time change right now. If you are listening to this at our regular time of 2 o'clock Mountain, 1 o'clock Pacific, and on it goes, we are moving to a new time slot. And if you're listening to this live, it is 10 o'clock Pacific, 11 Mountain, 12 noon Central, and 1 o'clock Eastern. We do that for a whole host of reasons, mostly because I get up at 4 in the morning, and I'm thrilled to be able to do the show earlier in the day. It saves the whole rest of the day to do show prep for the next week. But no, so 11 o'clock Mountain, many of our listeners in the Mountain time zone, and of course everywhere else, and you can even listen to us on iHeartRadio and all kinds of other places. Last time I checked, I got to talk to our producer about iHeartRadio. I wasn't able to pull that up for some reason, but if you're not getting us spouting off, if you're not spouting off about spouting off, give me a call or email me at www.karencataline.com. We will make sure to work out the kinks so that you can. So from now on, from this point forward, 11 a.m., every Tuesday, Spouting Off. Well, as always, it is just too difficult to decide what to talk about, but I've got it. I was on talk radio yesterday, had the pleasure of being on a local talk radio station. I do a lot of that these days, and it always amazes me how much I love it every time. It's always a privilege, always a blessing. To be able to talk to different audiences in different parts of the country. I remember saying on a local radio station that all of these things are related. And without becoming psychotic or anything, it's easy to connect the dots and see where we're going in this country and see who it is who's trying to stop us from going there. I submit, as I have for a long time, that that's the real reason that they manufacture hate for Donald Trump. It isn't because they don't like his style. It isn't because they think he's uncivil. Look at the incivility they've thrown at him. That's just a lie. Don't fall for it. Don't buy it. If he were suddenly a globalist, you'd find out that they don't hate him quite as much as they claim. This is all about policy. This is all about him stopping these hard left socialists from going where it is they want to go. And as far as the right is concerned, we have a good too many Republicans. I won't call them conservatives. They're Republicans who were never Trumpers 3 years ago, and they are just as much never Trumpers now. In fact, no amount of evidence, no amount of success, no amount unbelievable success, I can't think of another example, will turn these never Trumpers, people like Bill Kristol, who could not say a nice word about Donald Trump, regardless if it is lowering the black unemployment rate, cutting regulation, tax cuts, everything these Republicans with a small R claim to care about. The dirty little secret is, I don't think they ever cared about those things. But I'm leading up to something, and that is our old friend. Too bad I didn't get Doug in time to do some kind of a sound bite on, has anybody ever seen my old friend Mitt Romney? Well, we've been seeing a little too much of Mitt Romney lately. And the thing that bugs me probably more than anything else is that Mitt Romney enjoyed an amount of goodwill from the public that he most certainly did not deserve, but conservatives and the average Republican in the grassroots are incredibly generous. They have a generous spirit, and they gave Mitt Romney their support. I don't think they gave it in the enthusiasm, with the level of enthusiasm, forget Donald Trump, that enthusiasm is off the scale because he taps into what we care about. But they really wanted him to win. Mitt Romney never ran like he wanted to win. In fact, Mitt Romney was running around with an entirely opposite agenda to what he claimed to care about. Did he ever say that he was a globalist? Did he, when he ran for office unsuccessfully, I might add, did he ever say that I believe in multinational corporations running the show, and no matter how much we march towards global socialism, I'm not going to care because I'll get my piece of the pie anyway? And what was it that everybody said about Mitt Romney? They said, he is such a good guy. He's a Boy Scout. He's a choir boy. He is, you can't say too many nice things. The worst thing you can say about Mitt Romney is he lets his dog ride in the backseat of his car or on top of his truck, which is a little weird, I might add. But, you know, the whole thing about the binder full of women, that was the worst thing they could say. He had a binder full of women who he was going to appoint to all of these high offices, and the left made hay over that. That's the best they could do. Why? Because Mitt Romney is such a nice guy. Well, ever since Donald Trump has come to the forefront, I have said and watched Mitt Romney, as we all have, show his true colors. So not only has Mitt Romney done everything he could to get rid of Donald Trump, and thank God he was every bit as successful in getting rid of Donald Trump as he was as a political candidate, but Mitt Romney has shown himself to not be a very nice guy. I'm shocked. I'm really shocked. No, I never thought he was a nice guy. I thought he was phony. How many times, really, have people revealed that they are not the guy or gal that their public persona would want us to think they are? People like, Bill Cosby and Tiger Woods and a whole host of celebrities who bought their kids' college acceptance because they had very unextraordinary children. It is amazing to me how, even though consciously we believe that we know that this is a show for our eyes and for our hearts, and that politics is an awful lot like Hollywood. It's all about appearances, and what it's going to look like. And people are spinning a persona. And yet we still, some of us, buy into it. No matter how phony we know it is, part of our hearts and souls wants to believe that this is the real deal. Look at Tiger Woods. It's always been, for example, the athletes or celebrities may be a different story, who we try to elevate to these high levels of, oh man, they're such great people because they're successful in a sport. Well, Tiger Woods apparently has a new book out called Back, I'm Back. Well, he certainly wasn't the guy everyone thought he was. They thought he was a choir boy too. Celebrities in general, they deal in image. That's all they deal in, is image. And we know this, consciously we know this, but subconsciously we want to believe something different. And look about politics, JFK, FDR. The media covered for these guys because they weren't who they professed to be. JFK probably would have died a very early death because he had Addison's disease. FDR, as we know, was in a wheelchair, but he was never photographed that way. And we know that now, and we say, well, that's no big deal. But look at the kind of hype we have today, which brings me back to our old friend Mitt Romney. I got such a kick. I got to tell you, I watch Fox News, and Fox News is getting worse and worse and worse. But the show that I still love, and he's not the greatest champion of Donald Trump, but he's a fair-minded guy, and I don't always even agree with him. But about the only guy left for me to watch on Fox News is Tucker Carlson. I think he is great. He's my favorite. He's like my old Walter Cronkite of years past, which was never my guy because I was too young. I was 37. No, I'm kidding. So Tucker Carlson, at the very end of his show last night, came upon something that was just hilarious. Let me see if I can find it. This is amazing. I can find it. Pierre Delecto. Did you happen to see this? And if you're listening to this on a podcast, it's really okay because this is truly delectable. So apparently, Pierre Delecto has been followed. I checked him out, Pierre, you know, and he doesn't have that many Twitter followers. And he came on board just about the time that Mitt Romney, was running for Senate, if I believe is correct. You gotta figure that this guy just can't stay out of the limelight, a lot like Hillary Clinton, because even after he has an unsuccessful run for president, he wants to go back to the Senate so he can stick a wrench in the works of the Trump administration. I don't think for one minute, here's where I disagree. I know I'm all over the place, but I always get back to it. I promise you, I always do. I don't think for one minute that Mitt Romney's personal dislike for Donald Trump, which I'm sure he has, is the main reason why Mitt Romney would like to bring Trump down. He was even quoted as saying this week that he might vote for impeachment if it ever got to the Senate. And this is without evidence, without any grounds whatsoever. Ever. You could ask 100 Democrats and they don't know. There is a false accusation, but absolutely no grounds for impeachment. Plus, I would submit to you that Nancy Pelosi doesn't really want to impeach. She doesn't have the votes. She knows it's a political loser. She's just, as I've said before, trying to appease her insane base, which is pretty funny because she was never a moderate herself. So Pierre Delectable Delecto turns out to be Mitt Romney himself. And all he's ever done is parrot Mitt Romney's opinions and stick up for, you guessed it, Mitt Romney. Now, what does that say about a guy who has to be seen in a good light? Now, I haven't had time to read every single one of these tweets. Actually, I tried, come to think of it. I know why I don't have them. It's because suddenly, from yesterday to today, it now turns out that you have to be accepted into Pierre Delectable's Twitter feed. And I'm sure that is since Tucker Carlson outed him as, you betcha, Mitt Romney. I love research, whatever it took, to find out that Delecto is Mitt Romney. But notice how his whole deal is to be seen in a good light. The point of all this, in to my way of thinking, is that the whole thing of Mitt Romney being a nice guy was a lie, was phony. I mean, look at how Bill Cosby was treated in this country in the 80s. He could have run for president and won. He could have been king, God forbid. We don't do that in America. But he was elevated. People bent over backwards and twisted themselves into a pretzel in order to show how much they loved Bill Cosby. Some of that was virtue signaling to prove that, you see, I'm not a racist. I like a black guy. Because that was before, but leading up to the precursor of, we can call you a racist anytime we want if we don't like what you say. And here now, it was the left that outed Bill Cosby, because Bill Cosby had the audacity to criticize guys for not pulling up their pants and not getting a job and not being personally responsible. So here it took a criminal, and he is very definitely a criminal. Let's turn that off, because that's not for me. Sorry about that. We're getting, this is A, number one, what you're not supposed to do in talk radio, and that is to be distracted by phones. Anyway, and here we have Bill Cosby telling the truth. I'm got a line here. Yes. Telling the truth about stuff, and it was the left who were protecting him all along. This is very disturbing that the left is only appalled and aggravated and horrified when it's somebody that they don't like or want to punish. When it's Bill Clinton and he's pro-abortion and all of those kinds of things, they will go to the ends of the earth to protect him. And they don't care about how hypocritical and how contradictory that is. If we've seen nothing from the left, and boy, have we seen a lot, what we've seen is a willingness to flip-flop so drastically from what they have always stood for. It is so drastic that it's like you get whiplash, right? You get whiplash just trying to keep track of, well, let's see, this week they are pro-war because Trump is pulling our troops out of Syria. Last week, figuratively speaking, they were always anti-war. Last week, they were pro-Russia because they leaned much further left than Republicans did. Let's face it, in the McCarthy era, they were constantly being accused of being assets of Russia. Let's see, who said that this week? Yes, Hillary Clinton said that this week. But they were accused of being assets of Russia, and some of them actually were. And now Russia is the worst thing you could possibly have a connection to. You can't keep up with this stuff because the contradictions are so blatant and so extreme. You don't even have time to get horrified by it all. And I just think the left is horrifying in general. That saves my mental health, you know? And that leads me to, because I have a few more minutes before we have our guest on, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about him before he comes on and before our first break, is Hillary Clinton has, I mean, I can't say she's lost her mind, because I don't know if she was ever quite together, at least in her last presidential campaign. Once again, the theme of this monologue is things are never what they seem in politics or in Hollywood. And even when you know that consciously, part of you is always willing to believe it unconsciously. I mean, when a lie is told enough times, we are told, you begin to believe it. And what did they keep saying about Hillary? She's the smartest woman ever. She's so accomplished. She's so qualified. You know, they say it and everybody knows that's a lie. I'm delighted that the public didn't buy it. So far as I'm concerned, I hope she runs. I think she's desperate to have people draft her to run for president. I think that would be a stitch. About the only other entertaining Democrat to run for office would be Joe Biden. And it's not looking like he has a chance in purgatory, although I would love it. I would find it so entertaining. I mean, the gaffes alone could keep you in Orville Redenbacher's, you know. I would love to see that. I would love to see Trump take Biden to task. Biden would probably become about 2 feet tall after Trump was done with him. Or Trump might just laugh at him, you know, and call him Sleepy Joe and that's it. So what did Hillary do? So she, everybody's talking about this. I don't need to go over it a million times, but Hillary actually accused a Democrat political candidate who is a vet, Tulsi Gabbard, of being a, quote, Russian asset. Now, this smacks very, very much like what Hillary said decades ago when she said there was a vast right-wing conspiracy. At that point, people actually believed her. Now they know that this is what she always does. She was the first person, if I remember correctly, who used the term alt-right. See, I think she's got handlers and people who tell her this is what you have to use as the new narrative. And this is what you have to do to either distract the narrative, figure out what's going on. I mean, she's always doing that. And it's the same thing that Obama did. When he wanted to change the conversation, and Trump is a master at it and does it, thank God, from our side of the aisle. When Obama wanted to change the subject or if he wanted to get people talking, Clinton did this very well. Bill Clinton, the alleged rapist, he would throw something out there and telegraph that this is what he's planning to do. In Obama's case, he was flat out telling illegals to vote during the 2016 campaign. Nobody ever talks about this stuff because Obama has a permanent pass by virtue of his half-black status. He's the first half-black president. I'm reminded of the billboard that says, we're not racist. We didn't like his white half either. But because he has some African-American roots, and I'm being politically correct, I hate to even say that, he never gets held accountable for anything, including telling illegals to vote illegally. I mean, if you can impeach a president, that's Trump, for a phone call and innuendo, as in talking to the president of Ukraine, then how come you can't impeach a president, Barack Obama, for telling illegals to violate the Constitution, which he has sworn to protect and defend, and go vote in a presidential election? Did he get a permanent pass? Oh, yes. Will he get a permanent pass for being the guy behind the Mueller investigation, the phony FISA warrants, the spying, the corruption, the weaponizing of FBI and CIA? I think that remains to be seen, but I hate to tell you, I'm saying no, he's not going to. Nobody has the stones, as it were. Let me tell you who we have as our guest right after the break. His name, and I'm going to pronounce it right, is Adam Andrzejewski. And he is the author of a book called, let's see if I can find it here. Wait a minute. Operation Drain the Swamp. It's available from Encounter Broadside Books. And we're going to talk to him about draining the swamp. He has a great interest in pay to play. So he must be very busy, I'm sure. And we're going to hear all about paying to playing and the Biden scandal and what he thinks about this new accusation and impeachment. So stay tuned. You're listening to Spouting Off here with Karen Cataline. And stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital. starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Are you confused about Medicare and your options? Are you turning 65? Would you like some clarity about your options? My name is Anita McAllister. I'm a licensed agent who specializes in Medicare. Call me at 970-515-6882 to set up a no-obligation, no-cost appointment to learn about what's right for you.
And we're back. You're listening to Spouting Off here, and I'm Karen Cataline, having just so much fun. I am pleased to have with us for the very first time Adam Andrzejewski, who is an entrepreneur, CEO, founder of OpenTheBooks.com, the largest private repository of U.S. public sector spending. Adam's works have been featured on Good Morning America, ABC News Tonight, The Wall Street Journal, USA Today, Fox News, Forbes, CNN, Chicago Tribune, Real Clear Politics, and lots of other platforms. And he's going to talk to us today about not only his book, Operation Drain the Swamp, but what is going on with Joe Biden. Welcome to Spouting Off, Adam.
Karen, great to be on the program. Thank you very much for your interest in our work.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And first, tell us about your book, Operation Drain the Swamp. What made you write it, and where can people get it? Let's just go right into that.
Well, super. People can get it at Amazon. It's less than $10 there. And what it does is it lays out action steps on how our political leaders in both parties can drain the swamp. And the swamps exist everywhere. They exist in Washington, D.C., they exist in your state capital, and we make the argument that the citizens, we the people, we can't complain about Washington, D.C. or our state government unless we have good government where we live, in our backyards, where we have influence, where we know people. And across the country, what we find is reverse subsidiarity, where the local units are now the most corrupt. We're from Illinois. We're headquartered in Illinois, OpenTheBooks.com. It is the Super Bowl of corruption, Karen, and I can tell you that our local units of government in Illinois are even more corrupt than Washington, D.C.
Hard to believe. Is it as corrupt as it was under Obama when the Chicago thug politics, as Michelle Malkin likes to call it, came to Washington?
Well, it's an old Wall Street adage, flow begets flow. So when you start down a corrupt path, things tend to become hyperbolically, exponentially more corrupt. And nothing has stood in the way of the Chicago machine in my home state of Illinois.
They love those multisyllabic words there. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Those are great. I was quite fascinated when Michelle wrote that book. Don't remember the name of it offhand, but it was all about Chicago thug politics, and that's how Washington was being run during the Obama years. And the only reason we're finding that out, I'd love for you to start with that if you could, is because Trump is in office and Hillary isn't.
Well, and every single day is a sea change in governance. So you have the president who cut taxes, who has eliminated, most people don't know, one third of all federal regulations have disappeared from the Federal
Amazing.
Register. They've just gotten rid of it. And that's probably why we have one of the best economies ever in the history of our country and the lowest unemployment rate. And I'm 50 years old since, you know, before I was born. So when you get the heavy boot of government off the neck of the entrepreneur in this country, you get economic growth, economic progress, and people go to work. They can live freedom and liberty. And so I think that's in part what's going on with the economy. We've, our organization, three times at the Wall Street Journal and at USA Today, we've called for the president as commander in chief to wage war on federal waste. And we backed up that open letter to the president with 100 outrageous examples on these double-facing page ads that we've run, showing the president that it is a target-rich environment. And so we were very proud. Vice President Mike Pence and Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney have each told me personally those ads helped galvanize White House policy to cut 5% from the federal agencies. In fact, the president in February, when he submitted his budget to Congress, it had 5% cuts in the agencies. And the and Congress, both in the House and the Senate, have ignored the president. And the president has not invested his political capital to cut spending. And so that's why today we have trillion-dollar budget deficits. I think, you know, his instincts are good, but I think the president needs to refocus on spending, on federal waste, to fully start draining that swamp that he promised to drain.
I couldn't agree more, Adam. And I don't want to let it slide that you mentioned that he's cutting the size, the actual size of government. Right? Not just regulation, but the size of government and various aspects and departments of government, right?
So in terms of his own White House payroll, he has he's already saved the American taxpayer about $20 million by having a smaller and leaner White House payroll versus the corresponding years of the Obama administration. That's some good news. We finally, and we worked for a year and a half to finally get the executive agency payroll out of the Office of Management and Budget. Now, that's not good. We should not have had to wait a year and a half to get the results. In prior years, all the way back to 2007, we'd get it within 7 business days. When we got the payroll headcounts this year, here's what we found. Every single federal agency They have cut the headcount of those agencies except for two of them, which they've put on steroids. The president promised to do border enforcement. He was good on law and order. And so the Department of Homeland Security is up sharply in terms of their payroll. And the president also promised on the campaign trail to take care of the nation's veterans. And the payroll headcount yet again at the VA is up sharply. So on a net-net basis, you know, the headcount of the executive agencies is actually slightly larger than when he took over. However, that doesn't tell the whole story. In every single one of 122 agencies, the payroll headcount is down except for Homeland Security and the VA. And I think we have to watch Homeland Security. I'm not necessarily happy that that Homeland Security is growing as much as it is, or that that the VA hasn't been scaled back for more private healthcare options that would benefit veterans. It's a big bureaucracy, and the bureaucracy's been added to. So I think we have to watch those agencies. But the underlying story in the rest of the agencies is that there are sharp cuts to payroll. EPA, Department of Education, Department of the Interior, IRS, Treasury. You know, you go on and on and on, and they've been trimmed back.
Adam, we have to take a break, but I want to make one quick comment, and then you're welcome to comment when we return. And that is, it can't be underestimated. We're always analyzing, why do they hate Trump so much? Well, I submit and have submitted for a long time that I don't think they really do hate Donald Trump. What they're doing is trumping up hate towards Trump, because Trump threatens them so desperately. Trump threatens the con they've been running in this country, that we need all this bureaucracy, we need all this government. And you can't count on a government bureaucrat to cut government. You just can't. It's like asking a legislator to cut his own salary. He's only going to raise it. So self-interest. And that is actually what I want to talk about when we come back. Can you stay with us?
Yes.
Great. Adam Angievsky, great name, really smart guy with lots to say about government waste, one of my favorite subjects. You're listening to Karen Cataline and Spouting Off here on BBS Radio Station 1. We'll be right back.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
This is Karen Cataline. Are you unsure if your current Medicare plan is still the best one for you? The annual enrollment period is right around the corner. This is the best time of year to review your plan and learn what's new. Anita McAllister is a licensed agent who will guide you through the confusing Medicare maze. Since 2011, she has helped many individuals and couples obtain Medicare peace of mind. Call her today at 970-515-6882 to set up a no-obligation, no-cost appointment. That's 970-515-6882 for Anita McAllister. Thanks to Doug for that great bumper music. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off, and we are talking to Adam Angievsky. And he has such great enthusiasm and knowledge. He is the author of Operation Drain the Swamp that you could get at Amazon or Encounter Broadside. Just Google Operation Drain the Swamp. At the commercial break, Adam was telling me that his boss is Peter Schweizer, not a unknown name to most of us watching politics. I want to jump right in to the legalized pay to play. Everybody wants to know why it is we send people to Congress, and not only do they leave relatively average income and wealth, living in a relatively average house, and come back millionaires living in mansions. That's fairly obvious. But they also, as soon as they get there, their policies change. As soon as they get there, suddenly they don't care about secure borders. They don't care about cutting taxes. They don't care about cutting bureaucracy and government. So let's get some real good hard facts about what's been going on and how this pay-to-play business works. So go for it, Adam.
So, you know, I mean, I think most people have a fundamental question, like, how does 97% of Congress, how are they able to get reelected every single year, even though 17% of the American people, when polled, actually think Congress does a good job? And it's called an incumbent protection system, and taxpayers have a right to know just how it works. And so at OpenTheBooks.com, Karen, we did an oversight report where we mashed up the federal checkbook with the Congressional Campaign Donor Database. And here's what we found. We found powerful members of Congress soliciting campaign donations from federal contractors based in their districts. So we followed the money. And when you follow the money, you find a culture of conflict of interest. You find the confluence of federal money, contracts, direct payments, grants, campaign cash. You even find private employment from the contractor back to the member of Congress. The member of Congress is invested in them oftentimes. You find the member gets prestigious committee appointments through their relationship with the federal contractor. It's political power, nepotism, and other conflicts are a fact pattern. And we've got eight. We've got eight powerful members of Congress who solicited federal contractors based in their district, where the federal contractor oftentimes is their number one all-time campaign contributor.
Oh, tell us about these eight. So you're going to name names, are you?
We are. So
good. Please do.
Powerful member of Congress down in Nashville, Tennessee. And his name is Jim Cooper, and he sits on the Committee of the Budget. He's a ranking member on House Oversight and Government Reform. And they're supposed to be the watchdogs of Congress over the agencies. So this is pretty interesting. You've got Vanderbilt University and the chancellor of their school, their executives, their employees at Vanderbilt, are the number one all-time contributor to Jim Cooper. And Vanderbilt, just in the past 5 years, has received over $2 billion worth of federal contracts, direct payments, and grants. Jim Cooper, as I mentioned, sits on the Committee of the Budget. He carves up the budget. Vanderbilt's a big recipient of the dollars from that budget. And Vanderbilt, in a 12-year period, employed the sitting congressman. So from year 2005 through 2017, Vanderbilt paid Jim Cooper as their employee, as an adjunct professor, over $250,000.
Wow. You know, I have a friend and talk show host who I'm going to recommend that you talk to, or he's going to have you on as a guest. He's a graduate of Vanderbilt University, Vanderbilt Law School, I think it is. So
yeah,
I think he'd be interested.
It's a great school, but this shows how the money flows, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I mean, it's even worse than that. So ahead of the 2018 midterm election, Vanderbilt published and distributed Congressman Jim Cooper's guide to voting in Nashville. They left it up on their website when Jim Cooper's brother John ran for mayor in Nashville just recently and was elected, I think, this summer. And then, you know, like in 2013, Congressman Jim Cooper comes to Vanderbilt, gives an address to educate Vanderbilt on, quote unquote, how to receive federal grants. Well, I think the solution's pretty easy. You employ the congressman.
Okay. Well, you know, and this is... politicians cut their teeth on this, usually in the Senate, the House, whatever, and then they just continue on a higher level when they start running for office, or, you know, their Secretary of State, their name is Hillary Clinton, right? Sort of the same kind of thing.
That's where you get all these conflicts. They grow up in this culture where nobody holds them accountable. And I think that's one of the importance of our report at OpenTheBooks.com is to shine that White House, that white hot spotlight on these folks.
Exactly. So give us some more names.
So you've got a Republican, Tom Cole, out in Oklahoma. Very powerful Republican, vice-ranking Republican on House appropriations. They actually appropriate where the money goes. In Cole's district, his number one all-time campaign contributor is the Chickasaw Nation, a self-described Indian tribe. And the Chickasaw Nation, over the course of the past 5 years, has received over $700 million worth of federal grants, taxpayer subsidies. This is federal aid. They've also received, and this is pretty interesting, about $500,000 worth of surplus military equipment from the Pentagon, from the Department of Defense. Here's kind of a overview laundry list of what they received. The Chickasaw Nation in Oklahoma received mine-resistant vehicles. They received mine-detecting sets. Now, I don't know who's trying to mine the property out in Oklahoma versus the Indian tribe, and I don't know why they need the mine-resistant vehicles and mine detection sets. But that's what they're receiving from the Pentagon. They're also receiving night vision goggles, infrared illuminators, and the long guns, the military rifles that shoot the 308 round. Now, what's interesting about Cole, The Chickasaw Nation put about $250,000 into them directly through their executives, through their employees, through their affiliated lobbyists. And like I said, they're his number one campaign contributor. But Cole doesn't need to raise a lot of money. He hardly ever, it's a safe Republican district. In four out of the last nine election cycles, his Democratic opponent never even raised a penny. But Cole has figured out a way to hire his own, he's a partner in his own campaign consulting firm. And his campaign fund hires his firm. And his fund has paid his firm about $225,000. And his firm has paid the sitting congressman about $300,000. So Cole's figured out basically how to derive an income from his own, in part, his own campaign fund.
Wow. Gee, why aren't we shocked? It's just that we didn't want this to be happening in America, you know? We thought that maybe, I don't know. It's the rose-colored glasses are most certainly coming off. You know, we have to take another quick break. Can you stay with us until we get back?
Yes, I sure can.
Wonderful. Adam Andrzejewski is with us, telling us the real truth about pay-to-play and other stuff going on in Washington. Karen Cataline with you on Spouting Off here at our new time. And we will be from now on 11 a.m. Mountain Time, 10 a.m. Pacific every Tuesday morning. Stay with us and we'll be back with Adam Andrzejewski.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N. And Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening. And if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off. Welcome back. We are in our last segment here on Spouting Off, and I'm just delighted to have met for the first time and to be talking to Adam Andrzejewski, who is the author of Operation Drain the Swamp. And thanks for staying with us, Adam. What's the name of that website again that you have?
So our website is openthebooks.com.
Great.
And on openthebooks.com, we have something unique. Karen. We actually last year filed 60,000 Freedom of Information Act requests, and we've built the world's largest private database of government spending. And for example, no matter where you live in the country, you can see who makes what. We've captured virtually every single public employee's salary at every level of government across the entire country. So like right in your own town or your village or your school district, you can see who by name makes how much money.
Do you ever cover initiatives or government, government initiatives that where they promise a certain thing for monies that they're going to collect and then they end up diverting that money to something else entirely? Do you cover that sort of thing?
Well, we do. We've done deep dive investigations. That's how we cut our teeth in Illinois. First, we started at the local level right where we live. One of our investigations was our local junior college, and it made the front page of the Chicago Tribune about 20 times back in the year 2014. And so we encourage people to start where they live. You know, we have to have good government locally and give them oversight. Ask them the hard questions. Ask them one question. Where in the law do you get the power to make that expenditure? And if they can't answer you, start flooding their meetings with citizens. That creates a media event. And corrupt actors will flee in the face of that single question.
Wow. That's amazing. You were talking about women and that, you know, we used to think that women couldn't be as criminal or as corrupt as men, and you said they're catching up. What did you find? What are some of the women, say, in the House that are taking some of these pay-to-play things?
So we have Democratic women and Republican women in our report. One of the ones that I'm particularly upset about is in Michigan 12. In Michigan 12, that seat has been held by a member of the Dingell family for the last 86 years. It was John Dingell Sr., John Dingell Jr., and now it's Debbie Dingell. And this is an interesting situation. So Debbie Dingell is first elected in 2014, not that long ago, but she knows how to play the game. And so her number one campaign contributor are the executives and the employees of the University of Michigan. The University of Michigan's based in her district. Debbie Dingell sits on two boards at the University of Michigan, and one of them is the prestigious Ford School of Public Policy. And expressly sitting on that board, her duties are to raise money for the school. Now, check this out. She goes to Congress. She writes earmarked letters to the Department of Transportation. And when the Department of Transportation, in fact, gives the grants, millions of dollars of grants to the University of Michigan for their self-driving car program, Debbie Dingell takes claim for it. She issues the press release. taking credit for the grant. So she's on their board. They're her number one campaign contributors. People on the board of the Ford School of Government are her campaign contributors. She's supposed to raise the money. She writes the earmark letters, and lo and behold, she takes credits when the grants come through. And that's the problem, isn't it? I mean, at arm's length, all of these transactions are legal. But let me tell you, the pattern's troubling.
It is. You know what it makes me think of, Adam, is somebody I always thought I liked, but and I care about this state a great, great deal, and that's Wyoming. What about Liz Cheney? You know, have you found that she's doing this, or because she's got an awful lot of money to play around with the goodwill of her father, right?
So it would be interesting to look at her. She did not stand out to our auditors when we audited Congress. We mashed up the federal checkbook with the campaign donor disclosure base. She didn't pop out. Nancy Pelosi didn't pop out either. We showcased the eight that had the most conflicts of interest, and we put them in our report. And there's four Democrats and four Republicans.
The reason, Adam, this is so important, and I'm so glad that I sort of took a chance. I mean, I looked at it and I went, well, this sounds interesting. Let me have him on the radio. And I'm just, you know, pleased as punch that you did decide to come on and that we got you. And that is that people often underestimate the power of money. In politics, money is power. And money is making these policies. No matter what the politicians tell you when they want your vote, they want your money, they want you to walk door to door for them, the money that's sending their kids to college is what they really care about. And that diverts policy. Could that be part of what's going on with the globalists too?
Well,
because they certainly are voting against our interests.
You have to. So, for instance, like these eight members of Congress with these deep conflicts that we showcase in our report, well, we took a look at their votes on the budget bills in each of the last two fiscal years to see if they would vote against spending or if they would vote for spending, right?
I'm and shocked. So, I know what you're going to tell me is going to make me give me that much more confidence in politicians, right?
Well,
no,
you know what the answer is. So, you know, John Larson, Connecticut 1, Tom Cole, Republican in Oklahoma. You've got Eric Paulson, Kathy McMorris Rogers, Debbie Dingell, Brenda Lawrence. They never took a no vote. So the vast majority, there was only two no votes out of 16 amongst the eight members voting twice. 14 out of 16 times they vote yes, and we're facing $1 trillion budget deficits in this country, and it's no wonder why.
It's no wonder. Well, you know, the real reason I had you on, but this was really important, is in our last couple of minutes together, tell us what you think and what your group thinks about the whole Biden pay-to-play or quid pro quo. Which is kind of funny. I saw a great cartoon meme of a kid going to his mom and saying, "Mom, if you want me to clean my room in order to get an allowance, that's a quid pro quo, right?" So what do you think about this Biden business? I mean, he admitted it on national television, but if you're a Democrat, that doesn't seem to matter much.
Well, there is a double standard. I mean, Eric Trump had a great op-ed in the Washington Examiner. Everyone should read it. And he detailed out if Hunter Biden, if you switch places, if Eric Trump had a fact pattern that Hunter Biden and Joe Biden have, Donald Trump would have never been elected president. The media would have had a field day, and rightly so. Like, nobody pays somebody with no subject matter expertise $50,000 a month. It just doesn't happen, right?
So, and wasn't there a $1.4 billion gig?
It needs to be investigated.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, the $1.4 billion would have been the amount of money that Hunter Biden stood to reap out of his deal with China, right?
Yeah.
So in the Ukraine, it was a $50,000 a month deal with an oil company. Look, it needs to be investigated. And I don't, you know, I think the American people at every level are sick and tired of not having public sector deep dive forensic follow the money investigations in this country. I don't care if it's in your local school district where malfeasance is never investigated and the local state's attorneys steer away from, or whether it's at the state level with all these attorney generals that they always investigate the private sector, but never the public sector, or at the federal level here, you have to follow the money without regard to the level of power claimed by the politician. I don't care if Joe Biden was the vice president. This deal needs to be looked into.
Absolutely. And that's where your organization comes in. We need about 10 more of you on steroids just to keep up with all this corruption and bribery. I was going to just wrap it up here, but what about, do you wonder about blackmail as well as bribery, or is it mostly bribery? I mean, we always wonder if people have something on a politician, and whether it's bribery or blackmail, you probably can't prove that anyway, can you?
Well, and it, you know, at openthebooks.com, you know, we don't have subpoena power. So all we do is we aggregate public records, what's publicly available. And it's amazing. You know, it's, a lot of these things are just hiding in bright sunlight.
In plain sight. And that's it.
In plain sight.
They're trying to create innuendo in the Trump case where there is none. And when there's blatant, obvious facts in the Biden case, they don't see it. I mean, they really play us for fools. We've got to wrap this up. So tell people one more time where they can get your book and get on your website and access some of this terrific information.
So the book is available at Amazon. That's the easiest way to purchase it. It's called Operation Drain the Swamp. And we detail out action steps that you can call your member of Congress and insist in ways that Congress can help drain the swamp. And the number one way is to open the books on federal pensions. Incredibly, your U.S. Senate, your retired U.S. senator, your retired member of Congress, we funded and we guarantee those lifetime retirement payouts. Not one member has ever been stripped of their pension, even if they're sitting in jail for public corruption.
Yet,
we the people have no right to see what their federal retirement annuity even is. If there was a mistake or an ongoing mistake, it's not subject to the Federal Freedom of Information Act. This needs to change. There's a bill in Congress we helped write. It's with Jody Heiss. And that needs to be put into law. So the book's one way. Come to our website at openthebooks.com and sign up for our member alerts.
Excellent. I'll do that. Kind of sounds like the behind closed doors impeachment hearings, doesn't it? We have to go. And I am just delighted to have you. Adam Andrzejewski, go to his website, go to his and buy his book. Thanks for taking the time. We appreciate your time. And we hope to talk to you again real soon.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you for joining us. And that's about all the time we have this week for this edition of Spouting Off. You can visit me at my website. I have a couple of new op-eds, an op-ed and a blog post up now at www.karencataline.com. The podcast will be up for this episode soon, so look for that. Thank you to Doug, my producer, and to BBS Radio, and to HW, who's out of town, the multi-talented guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when we will have a lot more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.